Dear congregation, with the help of the Lord, we want to preach the gospel to you tonight from what we read together in the gospel according to Mark, chapter 5, and we emphasize the verses 18 and 19. Mark 5, the verses 18 and 19. And when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, Go home to thy friends, and tell them how great things the Lord has done for thee, and has had compassion on thee. We write above the sermon a prayer to stay with Jesus. He that has been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. That's a beautiful prayer. Do you know that prayer in your own heart and soul? Is that a desire of your heart to be with the Lord Jesus, to stay with the Lord Jesus, to experience His love, His nearness, His guidance, or to be with Him? That's far the best. The prayer to stay with Jesus. We see in the first place the occasion of that prayer. Who is the man? How was he before that prayer? After that prayer? What was his condition? In the second place, we consider the longing in this prayer. What does he express exactly in this prayer to be, to stay with him? And in the third place, the hearing of that prayer. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but said unto him, Go home to thy friends, and tell them how great things the Lord has done for thee, and has had compassion on thee. My dear children, for you another time, what's the theme of the sermon tonight? A prayer to stay with Jesus. And ye, my dear children, may pray that too. Now, O Lord, draw me near to thee, and let me stay with thee. For the Lord Jesus wants to have you. Let the children come unto me. A prayer to stay with Jesus. For you, my young people, that's the best desire you can have. Jesus is the best friend you ever can have. A friend who will never forsake you. Oh dear Savior, let me be with you, with thee. Let me stay with thee every day, every hour, every moment. A prayer to stay with Jesus. How beautiful. How needed. Not once, but all the time. In every occasion. In all the circumstances of our life. When we are in His nearness. When we belong to them, to Him. Nobody can separate us from His love And his loving kindness by the Holy Spirit in our heart is better than life, is the foretaste of eternal joy. When we hear his voice personally, I am thy salvation. When he comforts us by his grace and love in a living reality, when we walk with him and hang on his lips and hear his word with power, so that he fills our heart and life, and we can say with the Apostle Paul, my life is Christ, my dying gain, the prayer to stay with Jesus. It's so beautiful. The occasion, the longing, and the hearing of this prayer. Let us first sing together Psalter 426, the verses 1 till 5. 426, the verses 1 till 5. Dear congregation, did you ever have a feeling of despair, hopelessness? Did you ever have in your life the feeling, it's impossible for me to be saved? It is impossible. And you must see that. For otherwise, you always shall think in some way that you can do something. You can pray. You can read the Bible. You can go to church. You can do something. And what are you doing? Only sinning. What, Pastor? Is praying sinning? Is Bible reading sinning? Is going to church sinning? It can be. When you in your prayer only seek yourself, can you pray? The disciples of Christ asked him, O Lord, teach us to pray. And the Apostle Paul is saying, we cannot pray as it ought to be. No prayer, no word, never any word to the glory of God, out of my lips, out of my heart. Can you read the Bible, the holy word of God? Do you know the voice of the Master? How often did you read the Bible and put it away? Forgot it? Nothing? Yes? Sin? To read a word and not to understand it? Not to accept it? And how is your going to the house of God? The sermon of last week? Is it still in your heart? The holy word of God of this morning? Thou art fairer than the Son of Man. Did you see him? Is your whole heart longing for him? Or did you reject him? Did you forget him? Is that not sin? To reject Christ? To give him not a place which he deserves? What is the relation with the story, the history, and this part of the world? Well, nobody of us, fortunately, is possessed of the devil. Possessed, totally possessed. This man in Mark 5 is totally possessed. His thoughts, his feelings. And therefore he has only one desire. To destroy. Apollyon. Destroyer. That's what the devil is wishing and doing. To destroy people. To destroy your body. By addictions. By all kinds of passions. By all kinds of pleasure. So that you forget that you have a soul which must be saved. With all kinds of work. Busy, busy, busy. Money, money, money. To destroy your whole soul for a lost eternity. That's what the devil is wanting. When things are possessing you. And Christ is not possessing you. And God is not possessing you. In your thoughts not. In your feelings not. That must change. Hopeless. When the Holy Spirit is coming in the heart of a man in a saving way, we see that. I'm hopeless. I never, never can save myself. I need him. The man in this history didn't see that at all. For he was possessed. We all by nature serve the wrong master. How religious we can be. But Christ is not the king of our heart and not the bridegroom of our soul. We serve the wrong master. We do his will. What was the Lord Jesus saying to the Pharisees? You are out of your father, the devil. We are children of God. We are children of Abram. And he is saying, you are out of your father, the devil. Yes, for you hate me. You don't love me. Is there anybody here who doesn't love the Lord? Who doesn't love the Lord Jesus? The Lord knows our heart, our love. If he can say by grace truly, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest I love thee. But then there came a saving change. Ah, this man in the land of the Gadarenes was hopeless. Then you should have asked the people, is there any hope for this man? Then everybody should have told you, no, for this man there is no hope. He is totally filled, possessed by the devil. He is a danger for everybody here. He has only one wish, to destroy and to kill us all. What a bad man. Gatherings, congregation here, are you good people? Are you God-fearing people? Are you Christ-loving people? Let us see. The Lord Jesus crossed the sea, and he comes to the land of the Gadarenes. That's a wonder that the Lord Jesus is coming tonight to us by this word, by his wonders. Do you realize that? How many people in Grand Rapids? How many people in the United States? How many people in this world have that privilege that the Lord Jesus is coming to them in his holy word and speaks to us, to each of us? You are brought here to hear his voice, to see his might, to see his love, saving love. Nobody is hopeless for him. The devil can make us that wise. When we see our sinfulness really, when we realize who we are, what we did, what we deserve, when the Holy Spirit is convincing us of sin, he does, then the devil is there too. And he says, you are too bad. For everybody there can be hope, but not for you. He's a liar. He's always lying. He's destroying, and he's lying. For if anybody here had alone, all the sins of the whole world, there is forgiveness. There is hope for you, poor sinner. For the blood of Christ cleans of every sin, and the power of Christ releases from every sin and all the might and the power of darkness. We see it in this touching history. There comes a clash. The Lord is coming to this man possessed by the devil. He is in a very poor and bad condition, really. He is naked. He put off his clothes. He has no shame. That's what we see in our society too. People have no shame. They put off their clothes. When the weather is warm, they are nearly naked. Against the world. We need to be clothed. So that we cannot give occasion to wrong desires to others. You know? But this man is naked. And he's a danger. Everybody fears him. There's nobody who loves him. He's totally lonely. That's what the devil is making of you. Totally lonely. No love. Nobody loves him. Everybody fears him. And he's damaging himself. His stones, making wounds everywhere in his body. And he's extremely strong. Extremely strong. Nobody can conquer him. And he is seeking the places of death. All the time crying and striking and struggling himself. Oh, what a man. And then comes the Lord Jesus. And then everything changes. When he comes in your heart, in your life. But I am not like that man, you say. Fortunately not in this way. But as long as Christ is not precious for your heart, and not reigning and ruling and living in your life, you are on the side of the devil. You must change. You must have another king. That king is coming tonight in the gospel, in his word, in his power. Oh, let that be our prayer. That also this very night eyes are opened, hearts are broken, and young and old come to the blessed Savior, embrace him in true faith, and be saved for all eternity, like this man. How did the Lord save this man? Only by one word. Go out of him. Leave him. One word. How powerfully is the word of the Savior. How powerfully irresistible is the word of God. And you people of God in our midst, you know it by experience. The kingdom of God is not in words, but in power. For by the grace of God you experienced the power of his word. May your eyes were opened to see yourself. And then your eyes were opened to see the Savior in his beauty, in his glory. And then you were enabled to trust yourself, to trust your Savior, to give yourself over in his hands, pierced hands on the cross, and to expect everything for time and eternity only from him. One word. And therefore we must always be there where his word is spoken rightly. For there shall his word be blessed. The Lord is coming and speaking. That's such a privilege. That's such a wonder. Oh Lord, that I may live there where thy word is spoken. And where thy word is blessed. I can see that. You can see that. When men are released of the power of Satan, you can see that. Look to this man. He's totally changed. There he's sitting, quiet, clothed. Near his Savior. You don't recognize him. Is that the same man? Yes. But the saving grace of our Lord Jesus Christ overwhelmed him. And his heart is renewed. And the love of Christ is poured out in his soul. That's the only thing which you really change. Nothing shall change you when you try to become a good man. You try it in vain. Only the saving grace of our Lord Jesus is changing a man forever and ever, and changing more and more, be conformable to the image of God. There we see a saved sinner. That's a beautiful sight. That's a wonderful sight to see and to meet a saved sinner, a man in Christ, a man released out of the power of Satan and the gatherings. What's their reaction? What's our reaction? When we hear that a sinner is saved, do you hear that here? That sinners are saved? That people come to the faith? That people are full of Christ and his love? You must see that. Everybody can see the change in the life of this man. And all the generines ought to be glad, extremely glad. For that's the biggest, the greatest wonder which can happen in a congregation. That a child, that a boy, that a man, a woman goes over from Satan to Christ. Nothing is more beautiful. Nothing is more important. You cannot read it in the newspaper. But the heavens are moved and the angels are singing in joy when a sinner is converted. The gatherings. They have a number of swines, 2,000 in that region. That's quite a number. That's a big capital. That's a lot of money. And the Lord Jesus permitted the devils to go in that swines, and they were destroyed. Everywhere where the devil is coming, everything is destroyed. And they fell down in the water and are dead. All. Now there is left nothing. They are poor people. In some minutes. Try to imagine that you lose tonight all what you have. Your house, your money, everything. They don't realize that the greatest treasure which ever came in the world is in their midst. They don't realize that. Do you realize that? The greatest treasure, the pearl of great value, is among them, doing his wonders and giving his saving grace. There is a man released. There is a man so happy. And there is the Savior in his saving power and grace. And what do they pray? Go away. Go away. We don't want thee. They are totally blind for the wonder of what happens. Totally blind. Isn't that terrible? When you are blind for the wonders of the Lord. When your heart is in the things of this world. When you are busy with all kinds of things and totally blind for the wonders of God's grace. This man is saved for all eternity.
Oh Lord Jesus, save our souls too. My swines cannot save me. My money cannot save me. Nothing, nothing, nobody, nobody can save me. Than thee, O blessed Savior.
That's not the prayer. And what's now the prayer of our heart, friends? What are you praying now? What's the longing of your heart? Go away. I prefer a nice book and not the Bible. I prefer a nice PlayStation and not the Bible. I prefer the sports and not the service of God. I prefer what? What do you prefer? What are you praying? In your way of life, in your thoughts, in your feelings. The Lord knows it. What you are thinking and what you are praying. When you come to the house of God, when you go to your bed, and you are in the silence of the night, what are you praying? What are you wishing? O Lord, come. O Lord, be with me. O Lord, work mightily in me. Are you that praying? That's a nice prayer. That's worked by the Holy Spirit. Nobody can fill me. Nothing can fill me. Whom have I in the heavens high? But thee, O Lord, alone. And in the earth whom I desire. Besides thee, there is none. That's Christ. But they don't pray that. They see such a value in their earthly things and are blind for the value of Christ. And the Lord goes away. That's the most terrible thing which can happen in our life. Many people sometimes go away. They don't like the gospel. It's too hard. It's too difficult. The way is too narrow. They go away. They go to another church. There you can keep your sins. And there you can serve the world. And there you go to heaven all. That's a nice message. It's a lie. It's devilish. It's from Satan. The way to heaven is the narrow way. The way to heaven is an honest choice. Nobody can serve two masters. Go away. Or come unto me, O Lord. The Gadarenes are praying. Go the way. And the Lord is going. For we read here, and when he was come into the ship, that's hard. That's their wish. The man receives his wish. The Lord gives the wish of all that fear him. And they are all one in that own wish. Nobody can fulfill me. Then be, O Lord, my God, the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. My soul is thirsting for God, the living God. Nobody can fill me than Christ alone. I see such a beauty and value in the Savior. I can miss, if needed, every man and everybody and everything. But I cannot miss my Savior. Give me Jesus, or I die. That's nice. But that's not the case with the Gadarenes. It's the case of this man released, saved. That's his wish. And now in our midst, tonight it's one of the two. At what side are you? How is your life? It must change.
It can be changed. There is an almighty Savior coming to you, asking you, give me your heart. Give me your life. My heart is so hard, He will break it. My heart is so dead, He makes it alive. How you are, what you are, come unto me. That's what He is saying in the gospel. In His mighty gospel invitation, there are no limits. In His grace, in His love, to save, seek and to save sinners. But how endless terrible when we continue to say, by our behavior, by the choices of our heart and life, Lord, go away. But this man, we consider in the second place, is longing. He that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. This man, this happy man, nobody ever thought that this could happen. There are no limits at the might and the power of saving grace. You need not to despair about anybody, also not about yourself. There is such an abundance of love and grace in the heart of Christ. There is such a compassion. That's what we read here. That's what He said. And has had compassion on thee. Is that not a beautiful expression? That's the fountain out of which we live. And we drink the living waters. The eternal compassion of God in Christ. His free sovereign grace for poor sinners as we are. And that man is a living example. And are you also a living example? Then you understand this man. Then you are one with him. Then the same desire is in your heart. Lord, may I stay. May I be with thee. Not for a day, not for a month, but for all the time, for always, forever, forever and ever. Do you understand this prayer, this longing? For that's the longing of every saved sinner. How much difference there can be between the children of God in age, in way of conversion, in the measure of grace. When you ask a child of God in Greenland, in Iceland, in South Africa, in Australia, in the Netherlands, in the United States, what is your deepest desire? To be with Christ. To abide with Him. He is the lover of my heart, my most beloved one. For this man is a living witness of the redeeming love of Jesus Christ. He had it experienced in his own life. And that's what we need, the experience of redeeming love, the insight how lost we are, how eternal unhappy we are in ourselves, and then the wonder of His grace that He sought us. We didn't seek Him. This man didn't seek the Savior at all. He was not aware of the Savior, but the Savior sought him and found him and saved him. I am found from them who didn't seek me. That's the eternal wonder of sovereign grace, that the Lord Jesus is going through this world to seek and to save lost sinners, nobody who seeks the Lord. Maybe sometimes that can be a pain in your heart, isn't it? There is nothing in me but seeks the Lord truly. I am seeking myself all the time in everything. But then the wonder of grace, that the Lord Jesus sought me, came to me, and gave me the experience of his redeeming and forgiving love. And when that experience is really in our soul, it shall always have the fruits in the longing to be with Christ, from which is this man released, and from which are you released. When you belong to the living church of God, when you are united with Christ by true saving faith, oh, realize that. We must realize that more and more. That must be the meditation of our heart and life continually. When you are released, when you are redeemed, then you are redeemed from all your sins. This man is a clean man. The power of the blood of Christ is applied to his soul. He is redeemed. He has no sin at all. But he has peace in his soul. Peace. Peace. Is there anything in this world which can be compared with the peace of God as a sweet reality in your soul? Every believer has peace with God. God reconciled in Christ. Do you always experience that peace? That's what I'm not saying. But you're seeking it. And when you have experienced it, you know what it is. When there is nothing between the Lord and your soul, because Christ has taken away all your terrible sins. I see no sins in my Jacob, no iniquity in my Israel. We have peace. Peace with God, released from all his sins. And now he wants to stay with his Savior, who did it, who merited it. For the merits of Christ are precious applied to the soul of his man. And that's what the Lord is doing in all ages, in all churches, where the gospel is preached soundly, where he is present by his word. He is releasing, he is redeeming, and he gives the experience of redeeming love in the soul of his people. And he bears always the same fruit. Oh Lord, let me stay with thee. Let me always be with thee. And in the most precious moments of our life, we want to be with him in heaven, isn't it? Are there people who know that by experience, that precious moments in our lives, when the world is under our feet and nothing has any value? Only Christ, only God in Christ, when the desire fills our heart to be with him forever, which is far the best. Happy people is the people of the living God. This man wants to stay with Jesus, for he is released from the power of Satan. Satan is a hard master. He has many faces, religious faces, nice faces. He can be very nice. He can seem to be very kind. He's a deceiver. He's a destroyer. And is that not an eternal wonder? That you are redeemed from the power of Satan? And when the Spirit of God is leading you in all the truth, and when you can see the difference between the works of Satan and the works of God, also when Satan is coming as an angel of light,
And there you can see by the Spirit of God, it's the devil. Where the truth is not pure. Where the preaching is not pure. Not according to the word. Mighty preachers, much influence. Crowds and crowds are listening. But it's the devil. And he looks like an angel. Christ has only one faith. He's the truth. He's the life. And he brings truth and life in the heart of a man. This man is released. Can we read in the Gospel according to Matthew that there was another man who was possessed by the devil? And now we are wondering, of course, where is that man? He was there. But he is not here. And maybe we are not sure. But maybe there is a warning for us. This man has been released too by the power of Satan. And he is a normal man. He can live. He can continue his normal life. But man, where are you? Why are you not with your brother here? Why are you not with Christ? Where are you? You are released. You experience in some measure the healing power of the Savior. Can be. You were sick, deadly sick, and you prayed, and you prayed, and the Lord heard your prayer wonderfully. And you became better. Death went away. Death went away. Life was coming again. But what's a life without Christ? It's the death. It's eternal death. Then where are you? You experienced in some measure, maybe, the healing power of Christ. But it didn't draw you to Christ. For your sin, for himself, your life is not Christ.
And maybe this man is thinking that he is a saved man, that he is deceived. He's still in the power of Satan. When that happened, some people experience wonderful things in their life, wonderful healings. Hearing of their prayer. And now they think, I'm safe. No, friend, you are not safe. That Christ is not living in you. And then it is not the desire to stay with Christ, to cleave to him, to belong to him, to follow him. Oh, what a nice desire of this man, a released man. But that's the fruit. In the life of everybody who knows the loving, saving power of Christ in his own experience. But now in the third place, we consider the hearing. But let us first sing together Psalter 111, 1-4. 111, 1-4.
Now in the third place, we consider the hearing of his prayer. Howbeit, Jesus suffered him not. No. Lord, it's the deepest wish of my heart to stay with thee, to walk with thee every day, to hear thy words, precious words, to be in the company of thy disciples, to live among the people of God. It's nice. Is that a wrong desire? It's not a wrong desire. But not our desires are important. The desire of the Lord. Sometimes God's people are sent to places where they don't want to be. Sometimes ministers must go to congregations where they don't like to be at all. There is no acceptation of the word. Worldly people, ungodly people, people who make the wrong choice for their money, for their business, for their swine, such people. I don't like to live there, among that people. And you? We understand, I hope, this man. He wants to live with the people of God. But the other people, your neighbors, your colleagues, the world, worldly people, how do you look to that kind of people? Are you looking with the eyes of Christ? And Jesus, seeing the crowd, was inwardly moved with compassion. You know, I'm by grace more than 40 years a minister in the National Church. Mostly filled with wrong doctrines, with terrible lives, and enemies of the gospel. But when the Lord called me to the ministry, these words were very strong and often in my soul. And Jesus, seeing the crowd, was inwardly moved with compassion. And he began to teach them many things. The compassion of Christ. Why is this man saved? Was there any reason in him? No, not at all. There were all reasons to throw him in hell. But what was the root of his saving grace? Compassion. Divine compassion. That's such a wonderful fountain. That's such a hopeful fountain. The endless divine compassion for poor sinners, as I am. And then I am saved, such a person as I am, then everybody can be saved. Then there is no reason to despair for anybody. This man, his wish, is a nice wish.
But the Lord's command is another one. Howbeit, Jesus suffered him not. It can be a struggle in our lives, isn't it? Our wish and the wish of the Lord. Do you know what is so wonderful? That Christ is not only his prophet, not only his high priest, but that Christ is also his king. And a king must be obeyed. Only obeyed. He who loves me keeps my commands. Obedience cannot be missed in the life of faith. It belongs to it. Not my will be done, but thine. That's what the Lord Jesus himself did. When the cup of suffering was standing before him, full, more than full, with the pains of hell, with the angel of an holy God, not my will, but thy will be done. Whosoever wants to come after me must deny himself and bear his cross. That's the way. That belongs to it. That's the price. And this man, he bows the head. He doesn't say anything against it. He doesn't grumble. He doesn't ask why. He doesn't push his own wish, but he submits himself to the wish of his Savior. And he receives a sweet command. Go home to thy friends. It can also be translated to them who belongs to thee. Your family begins in your own home. Sometimes people think they are called to the heathens far away, but they never started at their own home and their own environment to save souls. That's strange. Something is wrong. This is the command of the Lord. Go home. Go home. Your own home. And to thy friends. The swine lovers. The worldly men. The ungodly. The sinners. And let the compassion of Christ be and grow in your soul. And tell them how great things the Lord has done for thee. Living witness, speaking out of the true experience of the love of Christ in their hearts. Tell them. Don't be silent. Is it not too silent in the church congregation? Is it maybe not too silent also among you? Do you obey the command of the Lord to tell the people how great things the Lord has done for thee? Redeeming love, redeemed from everlasting fire, brought to everlasting love and glory. Great things has done for thee. All your sins thrown away after his death, because Christ died for you on the cross. Great things, oh, they must live in our soul. And then our mouth
is overflowing. We cannot be silent. As I told you this morning, that a poet of Psalm 45 was seeing the king in his beauty. His mouth was overflowing, bowling, boiling, bristling. It had to go out. And the man goes and has had compassion on the divine compassion is the root of my life. Is there something out of which I drink? Divine compassion. The Lord hath compassion on me. That's the greatest wonder in human life. The compassion of Christ in your heart shall bear the fruit that you become a living witness. And the man goes. And I don't doubt that his witness bear many fruits. And that the Lord used him to save a lot of sinners. Is his prayer heard? Is the prayer heard of the Gadarenes? Lord, go away? No. The Lord didn't hear their prayer. What a blessing. What a wonder. What a love. The Lord sent a living witness of saving grace. And the man is speaking of the great things and the wonderful compassion of his Savior. And his mouth is overflowing. And people are coming, hanging on his lips. And the work of grace is going on in their hearts. Change their lives. And the devil loses a lot. Numbers of his adherents. And the kingdom of God is growing. That's the wonderful love of Christ. He doesn't hear such a terrible prayer. But he comes to enemies, to worldly people, to save, and to do experience his saving power. And is the prayer of this man heard? Yes. Yes. Of course. It was his deepest desire to stay with Christ. And Christ went with him. Then he preached the gospel to his fellow sinners. Christ was in him and helped him wonderfully and gave the power and the fruit to his work. That's wonderful. May you feel the help of the Savior. May you are preaching the gospel to other people. Sometimes to people who don't understand anything. I remember that I had to lead a funeral of a man which I visited the day before he died. Was a very worldly man, never attended a church. He belonged to the crowd. And then I made preparation for the funeral sermon. There came a voice in me. Make it easy. Make it short. People don't understand. Tell them not everything. Don't cause any fear. It was not the voice of my master. It was the voice of the devil. And there came such a crying in my soul, O Lord, help me. Deliver me. Make me simple, but make me true, that I may preach thy full gospel. And when I ever had a hearing of my prayer, it was that afternoon. The church was totally filled, mostly with people which never attended the church. And from the beginning to the end, the Lord gave me the grace to warn them with tears. And there was such an impression and such a feeling
of his presence, which I seldom had in any service. That's the power of Christ. That's the love of Christ. He's there among the worldly people, among the sinners. For he seeks the sinners, the harlots, the people who are full of enmity. This man, his prayer is heard. For after his short life, the Lord said to him, "Come into my glory." And now he is nearly 2,000 years already with his Savior. And he is forever and ever filled with the love of the Triune God. He is always in his presence. And he sees the King in his beauty. And he has such an happiness by Christ, as no man can understand here. To stay with Christ, the prayer, to stay with Jesus. Let that be, by grace, the prayer of each of us. And we shall receive our deepest wish and be with Christ within short time, to see him in his fullness, to glorify him forever. For this life is only a sign, but to us wait an eternity full of the glory of God. And there we are united with the church of all ages, with Abram, Isaac, Jacob, David, and this man released. And all the people released, a number which no one can number, which is serving him before his throne, in the praise that shall never end. A happy people is God's people. Amen. Let us thank and pray together. O blessed Savior, our words are too poor to express thy redeeming love, thy endless compassion for poor sinners as we are. We thank thee for thy glorious gospel, for this wonderful message of thyself, that thou released a man which could not be saved in the eyes of other men. Thy name is wonderful. There are no limits to thy saving grace. And that may give us hope, each of us. That may give us prayer, longing, desire. Work it mightily, O Holy Spirit, so that we cannot find rest till we have the same grace, redeeming love, as a sweet reality in our soul, and the longing of our life, of our soul, to stay with the Lord Jesus, to be with him forever and ever. O Lord, bless thy holy word. Pardon all our sins. Be with us in the week which is before us. Help us in our daily cares, and give us grace to stay with thee every day, every hour. We ask it only for grace. Amen.